Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday evening, and this is a revised Sunday morning coming down, One Nation Under God. I apologize for our problems earlier in the day. We started the show this morning, and it was going very well, and then all of a sudden, the satellite connection dropped, and the show was dead. So rather than go try to put it back together, I thought I would pretty much start over again, and I'll try to be quick this evening, but I think it's very important that we understand the importance of God in the creation and the continued life of America. We've been under a lot of stress, and I'm sure God is wondering what's going on down here. And so since this is a devotional program, I thought it was very appropriate on the eve of the 4th of July to talk about this subject. I won't go over the pictures in detail, but just take a look at them, if you will. There's the cross, the Bible, and the flag, indicative of America's close relationship with God. The Liberty Bell, very important during the war, the Revolutionary War, still alive in Philadelphia with the crack intact. Washington in the snow at Valley Forge at the time that he thought the war might be lost. He was saying his prayers, asking for divine providence, and he got it with victory at the Battle of Trenton. And then there's the Continental Congress, the body that was made up of men who realized they had their life on the line, because once they agreed to sign the Declaration of Independence, declaring their freedom from the English crown, their life and their property was at stake. And then there's God the Father, looking down on us, blessing us when we follow him, because we're made in his image, and probably very upset when we don't. And sometimes I think he just looks the other way and lets us learn the mistakes when we make the wrong choices with our free will. The eagle and the cross. The eagle is a great symbol of America. The cross is a great symbol of our Christian faith and heritage. And whether you're a Christian, Jew, or whatever, you have to realize that most of the founders of this great country, despite what you hear these days, were Christian. They left Europe coming to America because they wanted to be able to be free to celebrate their Christian faith as they saw fit, not to be labeled under one particular group. Then there's the Holy Spirit, represented by the dove. He's who enters us, gives us the strength to hopefully make the right decisions with our free will. And finally, a picture of Johnny Cash. My show is named for Johnny Cash's great song, the one that was written by Kris Kristofferson, Sunday Morning Coming Down. And we'll play it at the end of the show today. We normally play it at the beginning, but I thought for the 4th of July, it was much more appropriate to play the national anthem, written by Francis Scott Key during the War of 1812, as he sat in his cell looking out the window in Baltimore Harbor and seeing that after the great battle of that war, the flag, though tattered, was still flying high. And by the way, if you don't know, the music for that song originated as a tawdry British Navy tavern song. Amazing, isn't it? So anyway, folks, I think it's important that we start off today with Scripture, because we have two scriptures from the New Testament, both from books written by the Apostle Paul. And they're very different in their content, but we'll talk about those tonight to show the importance of God in America and why it was so important for the founding of this country. The first is from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And that's Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. And next, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, the whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is in the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Interesting scripture today, folks. We're going to get into it in just a moment because we're going to talk about one nation under God. This nation was developed under God. The founders knew it. It was right in the Declaration of Independence when they talked about our inalienable rights given to us from God. And those were higher than any authority of any man on earth and any government. And, of course, the founders had problems with what was going on as colonies. They were being abused, where they were being taxed without representation, and the army came over because they were concerned about what was going on, and they were taking up living quarters in colonists' homes. That's where the Fourth Amendment came from. Sadly, so many of our amendments, and of course today the Second, the right to bear arms, is under so much pressure. Yet these great founders knew that we would be under stress if government got too big and powerful, because when it does, the wrong decisions from the freedom of your free will, the wrong decisions, the evil ones, sometimes take place. And that's what they were warning against, and that's why they created this great country of ours. So before we go any further, I think we'll go back and we'll listen to another beautiful piece of music. This is one that's much newer. It was written in the 1940s, and it was well known and still is well known because the great Kate Smith is the one that made it famous, and now we hear it all the time, and we sing it in church as well. Here, folks, is nothing more fitting for the 4th of July weekend, God Bless America, sung by the great Kate Smith. We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you. life with calm. God bless America, my home, sweet home. From the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean, white with calm.
God bless America, folks, our home sweet home. So tomorrow we celebrate the 240th birthday of our great nation, the United States of America, and the importance of the living God in our success. While we are facing some trying times these days, America has always met and surpassed the many challenges she has faced. But today, more than ever, it's important for us to remember the importance that God has played in meeting all challenges. And it's kind of interesting that none was more critical than the challenge of the Civil War. And isn't it ironic that only 86 years following the nation's founding, the Union began the process of holding together with the victory at Gettysburg on the day before Independence Day in 1862. In other words, this day, July the 3rd, 1862. Oh, the war went on for nearly 3 years, for the Confederacy was brave and determined. But in the end, America survived. She became stronger than ever. With God at her side, she can overcome today's hardships as well. Let's take a look at a little bit of this. 1776, a band of men gathered together representing the colonies, each of the colonies, to draw up a Declaration of Independence. What they were saying is that they felt that the king was no longer honoring his commitments from the Creator. We're all created by God, even kings, presidents, rulers of all type. They're supposed to live in a godly way. And what basically these signers were saying was the king was no longer honoring his commitments to God and to his subjects in the colonies. They were being abused with taxes. They weren't being treated fairly in any way. They had no representation. And they basically decided they had had enough, that they would go out on their own. So they took the step to sign a document which committed them to a path from which they could not turn back, because the English were very brutal in that war. And anybody that was caught was immediately, of course, charged and immediately found guilty of treason. They were hanged. Their homes were burned. Their property was stolen. Horrible things happened in that war. Horrible things always happen in war. But the problem was, the king did not honor his commitment as a creation of God himself. And the Declaration of Independence that they signed spoke to that. It talked about the inalienable rights of man. Inalienable rights given from their Creator. Divine providence, not from the king. The same thing applies today in our country. The rights that you have in the Bill of Rights came to you from God. They didn't come from the President of the United States. They didn't come to you from the Congress. And so many people in high places are forgetting that today. And I think that the 4th of July is a very critical time to remember that. Think about George Washington. George Washington was a very honorable man. Now, from all things I can read, he was not the greatest general in the world, but he was dedicated to honor, and he was dedicated to the cause that he was representing, to gain freedom. and he had the whole thing on his back. The Continental Congress expected him to deliver results. And, of course, at the beginning of the revolution, the results were very poor. We lost every battle. We were in retreat mode until the Battle of Trenton. And that picture that I showed, that's showing on the screen right now, of Washington in the snow, where he's on his knee, he's asking God's guidance. They're at Valley Forge getting ready to go to Trenton because he knows that if they don't get a successful battle, a victory soon, he's going to lose his command and the colonies will probably fail and give in. And if that happens, all of these great leaders and all who supported them are going to die or be taken into prison. They're going to lose everything they have. Many of these men lost everything they had anyway, but they were willing to do it for the cause. And I sometimes wonder today if that same spirit of America, the spirit of 1776, is alive in this country. And I'm sure it is with some people, but it may not be with enough. I don't know. And then there was Jefferson, a great writer, not a very good speaker, but he's the guy who basically wrote this document. And then if you look on through the ages, all of the great Americans, of course, there were many more in the Revolution. Patrick Henry with his "Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death" speech, given in Richmond instead of Williamsburg at the Virginia state capital or the colonial capital, because he was afraid that the English Marines would find them, and of course they would all be charged with treason. You can think of others. Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox, fighter in South Carolina, would hit and run and hide in the swamp, and the British weren't about to go looking for him, but he lost his home and most of his possessions because of his fight. Because remember, at the beginning of the Revolutionary War, only about 20 to 25% of the colonists supported the movement for independence. But the others came to change their ways, or at least a lot of them did, as they saw the brutality of the British as they basically carried out a scorched earth campaign. And there had to be divine guidance behind these people for such an underdog to be able to come out successful. It just doesn't make sense otherwise. And look at later times in our country. We've had other great leaders. Look at Abraham Lincoln. He had a nation divided, and he fought to bring it back together. It was brutal. It was bloody. Many people on both sides died. Most of them were all honorable men. They were fighting for a cause that they believed in. You got to remember, at that time, you had America, which was divided between an industrial part, the North, and the agrarian South. And the agrarian South depended on slaves because of the requirement to handle the farms. They didn't have the manpower to do it otherwise, the number of workers. And, of course, we know that slavery is wrong. But when people condemn the South for everything they did, please remember that the bankers in the North were the ones who financed the slave trade. And without them, it couldn't have happened anyway. So there's plenty of problems and blame to go around. It's not just one side or the other. But what you have to do in life is learn as we go. That's what God wants us to do in our Christian faith, to mature and learn as we go so that we will get better and stronger and understand it better. And, of course, you get that from reading the Bible, from prayer, and from attending worship service in a community, because it makes you stronger and it makes that Holy Spirit much more capable of keeping that doorway to your heart open so that he can come inside and direct you the right way. And sometimes power corrupts to the point where you forget about that. You think you don't need God anymore. I think that's part of the problem we have today. We have people in high places that are so used to the trappings of power that they think they can do it all on their own. And they're woefully mistaken. And when America starts turning away from God, he looks the other way as well and figures, I will just let them live under their own free will and make the decisions that they will. But there are always consequences from those decisions. And that's what's so important to remember this history. Not just the Civil War and, of course, the independence movement of our nation in 1776, but all the steps that we go through. You learn from experience, and history tends to repeat itself. And I think we need to make sure we understand that and remember real history, not a politicized, correct version. And even in later times, we had leaders that dealt with great trials. And maybe they made a lot of mistakes, but they also did some good things. Think about Teddy Roosevelt with the Rough Riders. Teddy Roosevelt was a conservationist. He was also a very, very strong leader, believed in a strong military, and of course we always needed that. And then in World War II, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was crippled, he might have made some wrong decisions on what to do with the economy, but he was trying to bring America back. And then, of course, we went to war, and he had to make that declaration against Japan, which got us into the full Boer War with Japan and Germany at the same time, two fronts. And then Harry Truman, a country lawyer from Missouri, nobody thought was very bright or a very good leader necessarily. He was just there at that time, and it's a good thing he was, because the atomic bombs would have never been dropped without a man like Truman to make that decision. It was a tough decision. It was a deadly decision, but it was the right decision, because many more people were saved than would have died had he not made that decision. It would have taken years to finally subjugate Japan in war, to get them to unconditionally surrender, had he not done that. And it would have also hurt them as well, because they would have lost millions more people than they did. And you go forward, you've got leaders who inspired John Kennedy, Ronald Reagan. Since that time, sadly, I think we've weakened a little bit. I just have that feeling. We haven't really had a resolve. We've spent too much money. We've tried to do too many things, too many places, and we've got to get back to the basics that made this country great. That's what we need to do. At least that's my opinion. So as we celebrate this 4th of July, which we will celebrate tomorrow, and some of us celebrate it this weekend, remember that we are one nation under God. And the reason I read those two passages, because the first one talks about following your leaders, but your leaders are supposed to be godly. And the second one talked about putting on God's full armor to be able to hold strong and do what's right. And that's what we need to do, folks. If we will get back behind God and get our senses about us, the great country that we are, we will be fine. Otherwise, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And it's frightening to think about. Anyway, folks, that's what I wasn't able to say this morning when we got cut off. Hopefully I've been able to say it now. I've certainly tried. And I think it's just wonderful that this country has made it 240 years. Most people say that a government of our style, a complete experiment in liberty, could never have lasted as long as it has. We're under stress right now, but let's take her back and let's keep us strong and free, shall we? And we can only do that with the freedom that God gives us by giving us freedom from sin. That's our message for today. Will you join me for a quick prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this wonderful country, the United States of America, and for keeping her strong and in a leadership role for 240 years tomorrow. But we're suffering from lots of problems, the biggest of which is so many are turning from God. So many are no longer following your laws. So many just seem to think they can do it on their own. Help us to realize that without you behind us, with the Holy Spirit in our heart, who puts us in touch with thy Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who in turn puts us in touch with you, the Father, Creator, the all-knowing and all-being. Help us to realize we need you more now than ever, and to ask for thy help and thy inspiration. God bless America. Amen. Okay, folks, that's our show, the second version today. If you heard the first, you might have been a little bit different with it, but pretty much the same sentiments. And I'm sorry for the problem we had, but it looks like we've made it on this second version, so that's great. And I'll have more shows during the week. If you like any of my work and would like to pass it on or review it, go to blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live. All of my shows are on, even the ones that were cut off in midstream, so you can hear them to where they were. And we'll be back this week with some more. I always post all of my shows on both Twitter, Facebook, and on my website, NorthFloridaWriter.com. So be on the lookout on any of those sites for them, and I thank you for joining in with us tonight, and I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July tomorrow with God at your side. We're going to close tonight with my theme song. I usually open with it, but as I told you, the name of this show is Sunday Morning Coming Down. So here's the song that I based it on, sung by the great Johnny Cash and written by Kris Kristofferson. Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful week ahead. Keep God in your heart. Keep the spirit alive. And celebrate America's birthday tomorrow. God bless America. Here's Johnny Cash. Bye now.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid playing with a can that he was kicking. Then I walked across the street and caught the Sunday smell of someone's frying chicken. And Lord, it took me back to something that I lost somewhere, somehow along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. In a Sunday that makes the body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk. And Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw a daddy with a laughing little girl that he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school and listened to the songs they were singing. Then I headed down the street, and somewhere far away a lonely bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyons like a disappearing dream of yesterday. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, Sunday that makes the body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk. And Sunday morning coming down.